I'm Mary. I'm an addict. Hi, everybody. It's an honor to be asked to speak at an event like this, and I want to thank the committee for asking me to come up here and share my experience, strength, and hope. My clean date is January 18th, 1987. I've been around for a little while. And I'm going to be speaking on the 10th, 11th, and 12th steps today, and those are the maintenance steps. If you've gotten that far, that probably means you've been around here for a while. I know that I didn't get to the 10th, 11th, and 12th steps in my first year. It took me a few years before I actually did all the steps. I think I was about maybe 6 years clean by the time I finished them, did all of them, worked all of them formally. Let's see. The 10th step, as some of my sponsees and people in my sponsee family will tell you, I'm pretty big on the 10th step. The 10th step is kind of a clean-em-up kind of step for me. It's like it says we continue to take personal inventory, and when we're wrong, we promptly admitted it. Back when I was about 3 years clean, I used to have a lot of problems that I would refer to my sponsor, and my sponsor used to get tired of hearing my problems, so she gave me this wonderful tool. It was called the 10th step. And even though I wasn't anywhere near that, it was a writing tool that was really has been something that's been really useful to me throughout my whole recovery. And a written 10th step would be that I would write down my fears and resentments, and then I would share them with my sponsor, and I would say, when I was done sharing them, these are my fears and resentments. I'm ready to have them removed. That's the 6th step. Then I would say, please remove them, which is the 7th step. Then I would say, I pray only for knowledge of higher powers will for me and the power to carry that out, which is the 11th step. And part of an inventory is, for me, was fears and resentment. And, oh, there's one more thing I'm going to say. I'm going to back up before I go any further. I just want to tell everybody that I don't speak for NA. This is my experience, strength, and hope you're getting. So take what you like and leave the rest. So what I learned by staying clean was that the things that harm me the most are my resentments and fears. You know, we have the reading about the triangle of self-obsession, the resentment, anger, and fear that we have. And I know for me that was always something that was told to me a long time ago that if I hang on to that stuff's going to take me back out. And, you know, once I got clean, I mean, I feel very fortunate because I got clean, and since I came here, I haven't had to use again. So I was always afraid of going back out and getting high again. I didn't want to get loaded. And I had a lot of willingness. And so when my sponsor told me to do something, I would do it, you know, for the most part. I mean, one of the things that motivated me a lot with the 10th step was that if I complained about a problem more than twice, my sponsor would hang up on me. She would tell me, you need to write a 10th step. So, you know, in a way, I was kind of forced to do it. But one thing I can say is that it really did me a lot of good, because what it did was it forced me to look at what was going on with me. Because when I have a resentment, the other side of that resentment is a fear. So, you know, if I resent you for being mean to me, maybe it's because I'm afraid you don't like me. You know, so this way I get to own the whole thing. You know, I might be resentful, but there's probably a fear on the other side of that. You know, so over the years I've been clean, I've used that 10th step a lot. You know, there's been a lot of times when I had a lot more fear than I had resentment. And I found out that since I've been clean, a lot of my greatest fears have come true, you know. And my sponsor used to tell me, it doesn't matter how many times you have the same feeling, the same fear, the same resentment, whatever it is. You know, you can write it over and over again until you get rid of it. You know, because I know for myself, you know, I'm the type of person who's very obsessive. So if I get a hold of something, like a resentment, it'll just stay in my head. You know, and I'll just obsess on it and think about it, and it'll get bigger and bigger and bigger until I'm just consumed by it. And that's all I think about. You know, so the 10th step was a great relief for me, because it really helped me to be able to let go of a lot of that stuff. You know, and what I want to do in my recovery is not be thinking about how much I dislike somebody, or I'm going to get even with this person, or I'm afraid this is going to happen. You know, it's not useful for me to spend my time worrying about stuff or being angry and resentful with things. You know, that's not healthy for me. You know, one thing I can say is that, you know, the 10th step is a good, has been a good tool for me, too, to clean up any wreckage that I may have made in my recovery. Because, you know, there are times I'm not perfect. You know, I've been clean for a few years, but you know what? The thing that I found out is that staying clean for a long time does not make me perfect. I'm still human. In fact, one of the things I've learned about myself is that the longer I stay clean, the more human I am, which means I'm going to make mistakes, you know. I mean, when I don't like people to put me on a pedestal and say, oh, she's got so many years clean, she must be perfect. No, I'm not perfect. If I get put up on a pedestal, I'm going to fall right off of it because I'm only a human being and I make mistakes. And sometimes I do things wrong. Sometimes I hurt people's feelings. And if I do stuff like that, then I have to take responsibility for that and clean that up in whatever way I can. And, you know, the purpose for me of a 4-step was so I could clean up wreckage. And then the 10th step keeps me from having to keep more wreckage in my life, you know, because once I'm clean, I don't want more stuff piling up, you know. It's like I got clean and I don't have to lie anymore. I don't have to do the things that I used to do. So therefore, you know, the better way I can live and be honest and stuff and take care of stuff when it happens, the better off I am and the better I feel about myself, you know, because it's all about doing the right thing. For me, it's about doing the right thing for the right reason. Caterpillar. Scared me. I put my hand down there. There's this fuzzy little thing there. I was like, wow. Okay. that just like blew everything for me here. Okay, little guy. You know, the steps are in order for a reason, and when I was talking about the writing part of the 10th step, using it as a tool, the beauty of it was when my sponsor gave that to me as a tool was that it also gave me a chance to work the 6th step, the 7th step, and the 11th step, because, you know, the steps all work together. And, you know, sometimes when I have resentments and fears and stuff, it's character defects that are coming out, you know. It's like I know that one of my defects of character has been that I've been jealous of other people. You know, somebody has something that I want, like a new car or a rock star boyfriend or a nice mansion on the hill, you know. I mean, I can remember when I first got clean, I figured, wow, you know, I'm going to have all that stuff now because now I'm clean and, you know, everything's going to happen for me. And the thing that I found out was being clean didn't entitle me to anything other than another day clean. And, you know, I used to look at other people and compare my insides to their outsides, and that caused me a lot of pain and resentment, you know. And one thing I learned is that, you know, I need to remember where I came from, what my path is, what my journey is. You know, I might not be where you are, and that's okay. You might not be where I am. That's okay. We all get to where we are as a result of the stuff that has happened. I mean, I got here because of the actions I did, because of the choices I made. That's what brought me here to recovery, you know. And, you know, I'm grateful that I'm here and that I'm alive, you know, because it could have been much worse. I can remember several years ago, I'm actually originally from Pennsylvania, but I spent most of my life in California, in the San Francisco Bay Area, and I used to go to this meeting. It was an 11-step prayer and meditation meeting, and we used to go in, and the first 20 minutes of the meeting was meditation. They would turn off the lights and light candles, and we would sit there and meditate for 20 minutes. And then we'd have a topic. We'd talk about the 11th step or different types of spiritual practices, you know, prayer and meditation, whatever. For me, early on in my career as an addict, I was always interested in different spiritual practices. And so one of the practices that I did was to meditate. So when I went to this meditation meeting, I felt really good. It made me feel really good, you know, because I could sit there and I could meditate and get in touch with my higher power. And I've heard other people say that prayer is talking to your higher power and meditation is listening for the answer. And you know, throughout my recovery, I've used meditation a lot as a tool. And it's not always easy to quiet the mind, but, you know, even if I can't completely shut out everything and make everything stop, I can sit quietly and reflect, if I have to, just reflect on stuff that's going on in my life. You know, look at what I'm doing, look at what part I have in what I'm doing, and look at different ways to enhance my spiritual growth, you know. And to me, spirituality is not just sitting there and praying or meditating. Spirituality is the way I act in my life. It's how I treat other people. Am I respectful of other people? You know, I mean, that's an important thing. If I'm going around being disrespectful and calling people MF and this and MF that and blah, 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 you cut me off in traffic and I hate you, or, you know, you got a better seat at the concert than I did, or any of that stuff, that's not spiritual. You know, spirituality is how I live my life every day. You know, how I act, you know, when I'm in public. Because what I learned in these rooms, I have to take it with me out there. You know, and a lot of what I've learned since I've been in recovery and with the help of the steps is about how to have some spirituality in my life. You know, and it's not just the 11th step. There's a lot of talk about spirituality in our steps. And I know when I got here, there was nothing spiritual about me. You know, I had lost touch with any kind of higher power, because the drugs were my higher power, you know. And actually, we used to call that a lower power. You know, it's not a higher power, it's a lower power. So it's like, you know, to be able to go, to get back in touch with the fact that I am a spiritual being, you know, to be able to look at other people and have respect, and you know, just look at things in a different way. Live my life as a different type of person. You know, I'm a different person than I was when I first walked in here. You know, when I first walked in here, when I heard the word God, I was going to run right back out the door. Until I heard that you could have a higher power of your choosing. It doesn't have to be God. It doesn't have to be this. It doesn't have to be that. I mean, it could be this microphone stand, if that's what you feel is a power greater than yourself. It could be a rock. It could be anything. You know, and the whole point of it is, for me, is that I need to connect with something. You know, I need to know that there is a God, and I'm not God. I'm not it. There's something that is greater than me. You know, I mean, when I was using, I was the greatest thing there was. There was nobody greater than me. You know, but I came to find out when I got here that, you know, I needed to learn to be humble. I needed some humility. So, you know, by being willing to ask my higher power for guidance, you know, that shows some humility on my part, because I don't have all the answers. There are times when I just don't know what to do, you know. And I mean, that also goes along with the third step. I just give it to my higher power. When I don't know what to do, you know, so when I practice the 11th step, I'm seeking, you know, through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact. You know, I'm praying only for the knowledge of my higher power's will for me and the power to carry that out. It's all about the willingness, you know, and for me, willingness has been the key throughout my recovery, and willingness has been one of the things that's kept me clean, because I'm willing to do what I have to do. You know, not everything I've had to do since I got clean was fun. You know, sometimes I'm not in the mood to be spiritual. Sometimes I just want to say, screw all this stuff. You know, let me go over here and act like an idiot. You know, but you know, and sometimes I do act like an idiot. And then when I do, I pay the price, you know. And my sponsor used to say, it's okay to act out. Do whatever you want, as long as you're willing to pay the price. You know, and what I found for myself is that paying the price usually involves my self-esteem, and that's usually a pretty big price tag, and I don't like to pay that price. You know, I'd rather have my self-esteem and love myself a little bit than feel like I'm making myself less than, you know, because no one's greater than or less than here, as they say. You know, and that's part of the spirituality, is realizing that, you know, we're all here for the same reason, you know. And just realizing, you know, when I'm in the world, people deserve to be respected. That's all, you know. I may not like somebody, but it doesn't mean I have to disrespect them. You know, it's not up to me to do that. It's not up to me to be a judge and say, well, I don't like that person, they're rotten, blah, blah. if I don't like them, I don't like them. Okay, whatever. But they're still a human being, and they deserve to be respected. The 12th step, having had a spiritual awakening. When I think about having had a spiritual awakening, I think I've had a few different experiences that have been spiritual awakenings for me. The 12th step says, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message and practice these principles in all our affairs. You know, so we try to give this message to other addicts. And I realized, when I first got clean, I have to say this, because this is funny. When I first got clean, I was so excited about it, I was up on that pink cloud. I remember, the first 90 days clean, I was, so happy. I was like, wow, this is cool, And I decided that I was going to give it away, And they used to have a saying where I came from about, doing the two-step. I'm powerless, let me give it away. So I skipped all those steps between 1 and 12, and I was giving it away. I had to learn a lot before I was able to give it away, because I didn't have anything to give away when I first got here. But, the thing about it is that when I first came here, there were a lot of people who were willing to help me. And there was no strings attached. They didn't want anything from me. All they wanted to do was help me, that was a very valuable gift that I got. People actually taking the time to help me, because when I came in, I felt like the lowest thing there was. I was like lower than low. I was lower than this, underneath this caterpillar, and I thought to myself, why would anybody want to help me, And when I first started going to meetings, I went to meetings in San Francisco. I was 12-step there. And the first meetings I ever went to were gay meetings. There were a lot of gay men there, And these men just were so wonderful to me. And I thought to myself, well, I know they don't want to have sex, So, they must really like me, So a lot of people reached out to me and helped me. And it was the first time in my life that I felt like people cared without wanting anything, As I stayed clean, I began to realize that people used to tell me all the time, I feel so guilty sometimes because this is probably helping me more than it's helping you. And I used to think to myself, how in the heck can that be, What do you mean it's helping you more than it's helping me? I mean, it was really nice when somebody came and picked me up and took me to a meeting. Or if somebody took me out after a meeting and bought me a cup of coffee. That I felt like $1 million. I was like, wow, this is cool. This is nice. And, I'll never forget the first time I ever went to a meeting. I went to a meeting and it was funny because I had, previous to coming to Narcotics Anonymous, I had gone to Al-Anon, and because there was nothing wrong with me, I was going because I was with an alcoholic and he was the problem. I didn't have a problem. He was the problem. So anyway, some people got me to go to an NA meeting, and I'll never forget, I walked in and I was like, wow, this is weird, because I looked around and I saw people smiling and I thought it was weird. So when the meeting was over, I thought, well, I'm getting out of here, I'm getting the heck out of here while I can. So I'm going for the door, and all of a sudden some people surrounded me, a whole group of people, and they all said, hey, I'm Jack, I'm John, I'm Jill. We're going out to coffee. You're coming with us. I was like, oh, man, are you kidding? So they took me out to coffee. I mean, that was my first experience, the first time I ever went to a meeting. And, it just amazed me how much love there was and how much people really, truly cared about me. If people didn't see me, they'd call me. They'd say, where have you been? What are you doing? We're coming by to see you. We're coming by to pick you up. We're going to a meeting. Let's go. They come get me, take me to a meeting, that's the 12th step. I'll never forget, I was like 90 days clean, and I was hanging around with these people, and they said, well, you know what? They said, we're going to go someplace special tonight after the meeting. And I was like, oh, really? Where are we going? They go, well, you'll see when we get there. And I was like, okay. They said, wear something nice, look nice, look decent. I was like, all right, okay, back in those days, I was kind of like a punk rocker. I had a mohawk, and I was pretty wild looking. I was a pretty wild girl in those days. So the meeting was over, and I got in a car, and we drove across the Bay Bridge to Oakland, and we went to this place that was a boathouse in Oakland. Got out of the car, and I heard all this loud music, and I was like, oh, what's that, you know? So we walk in this place, and it's a dance, and I was absolutely horrified. I was like, oh, you got to be kidding. What are we doing here? And they're like, it's a dance, it's a dance. And I was like, a dance? You want me to dance? I can't dance. I need a drink if I want to get a dance. I'm not going to dance. So I just like freaked out, and they go, well, you got to dance. We brought you here to have fun. I was like, no, I'm not dancing, you know. So I went and hid in the coat rack. I was just horrified. I saw all these people. I was like, oh, no. You know, so they came and they found me in there, and they said, listen, you want to stay clean? And I was like, yeah. And they go, you get out there and dance. And I'm like, okay, okay. You know, and that's the 12th step. You know, that's carrying the message. You know, they were trying to help me. They were trying to bring me outside of myself, you know. And I was worried when I got out there on that dance floor, because I looked around. I was like, man, all these people are looking at me. I don't know how to dance, you know. What am I going to do out here? And I was telling my friend, I'm like, man, these people are looking at me. And they go, they're not looking at you. They're worried about you looking at them. They don't care about you. And it's like, yeah, that kind of opened my eyes. I was like, yeah, I guess you're right. So, you know, part of the 12th step is also, you know, having fun in recovery, taking people places, doing stuff, you know. And I mean, if it weren't for the people that I met when I first walked in these rooms, I wouldn't be here today. It's because of all the people who took the time to do nice things for me, to take me places, to show me that living clean was really a good thing. You know, it was like fun. It was going to be fun. Because I thought to myself, how can I have fun if I'm not loaded? Oh, man, I don't think that's going to happen. But, you know, I found out that I could have fun clean. You know, and I, the first few years of my recovery, I mean, I was never home on the weekends. I mean, we'd go to dances, we'd go here, we'd go there, we'd go to somebody's house, get a case of Pepsi, sit up all night, watch movies, crash on their floor, go out to breakfast. I mean, you know, we did a lot of stuff. We had a lot of fun. I went to campouts like this one, you know, I went to dances. I went everywhere. People took me everywhere, you know. And I began to see that my life could change, you know. So, you know, carrying the message takes many forms, you know. Carrying the message can be answering the phone, you know, when somebody calls. And just, you know, sometimes people call me and they don't really know what to say. But sometimes it's just that there's somebody there on the other end to pick up that phone that means so much to someone. I mean, I know in my early recovery when I was like freaking out and I'm still obsessed with using, I would just pick up the phone. I would call somebody sometimes. I would just call them and I didn't know what to say and I didn't really know if I wanted to talk about that I felt like using. But, you know, I learned how to be able to reach out by just picking up the phone and just talking. Sometimes it's not about recovery that we're talking about, but it really is about recovery because it's being able to connect with another person, you know, who understands, who's been down the same road that I've been down, you know, who's had that hopeless feeling, who's come in here, you know, broken and beaten and just not knowing what to do anymore and come in here like, this is the last place. I got to do this. I got to try something, you know. And I mean, to me, that's what it's about. That's what it's all about, you know. And sometimes we carry the message without even knowing it. You know, I had an experience where I had this job, and I used to work like from 12:30 to 9. And I worked with this guy, and he was probably an addict. I don't like to say that, but anyway. So every once in a while, we'd all go out. Me and him and a couple of his friends would go out, have some dinner and talk and stuff. And one time we decided to go to this new Thai restaurant. You know, we went over there and I was with him and his friends. And his friend was like, I'm going to have a drink. Is that going to bother you? I think I was maybe 3 or 4 years clean, something like that. And I was like, no, I don't care. You know, you want to have a drink, that's fine. And he's like, well, why don't you drink? And I said, well, you know, I'm in recovery. And he goes, well, what does that mean? And I said, well, you know, what that means is that the world is a better place if I don't drink or use drugs. That's what it means. And he goes, and he was real confused. He goes, well, you mean you just can't have a drink? And I said, no, I can't have a drink. I can't have a joint. I can't have a anything. Because once I have one, I have to have 1,000 more. You know, so, and we ended up having a conversation, and I talked about my recovery and, you know, that I'd been clean for a while, that I was going to meetings, and, you know, and he is asking me all these questions about it. And I just talked to him about it, you know. So about a year later, I was in downtown San Francisco, and I look. This guy's name was Jeff. And I see this guy, Jeff, and I go, hey, Jeff, how's it going? And he's like, oh, my God. He goes, it's so good to see you. It's been like a year I hadn't seen him. And he goes, I want to thank you. And I go, for what? And he goes, I've been clean 6 months now. And I go, really? And he goes, yeah, after I talked to you, I thought about it, and I got clean. And I was like, wow. You know, so sometimes the message gets carried even if we don't consciously try to do it. You know, and I mean, that's the beauty of being clean. We carry the message. You know, we carry the message. It's in our behavior. You know, it's, you know, being clean, it permeates every part of our lives, every part of my life. It's part of my being. It's part of who I am today. You know, my life isn't always the greatest, but you know what? I like it. I've gotten used to my life being this way, and I like it this way. You know, it's pretty peaceful. It's pretty calm. I don't have to worry. I don't have all this crazy drama, insanity, three-ring circus going on anymore. You know, it's pretty calm. I have friends. I have sponsees. I have people in my life today, my family. You know, things are a lot different than they used to be. And it's because people took the time to carry the message of hope to me, you know. And that's what we're all doing when we're sitting here. We're carrying the message, you know. And anyway, if you're new or if you have any doubts or you're thinking about it or you're not sure what you want to do, you know, I'd say stick around here because, you know, the steps have always been a very important part of my recovery, you know. It's really, when I first got clean, my sponsor told me that by working the steps, I would empower myself, you know. And I thought to myself, what a concept that is, you know, because the only kind of power I used to have was the kind I had when I was manipulating people, and I thought that was power, you know. And that has nothing to do with power. That has to do with my old behavior and the insanity of the disease, you know. And by working the steps, it's like I put different tools in my toolbox. You know, I fill it up with the steps because the steps are tools for me and teach me how to live. You know, when I came in here, I wasn't sure what I needed to do. You know, it was like I came in here and you guys showed me how to live because I had no clue. You know, when I came in here, I didn't know. I didn't know how to do this clean. I was confused, you know, and I didn't know where I was going to go when I came in here. And, you know, for me, working the steps for me was something that I did formally. Back in the day, when I got clean, we had to write everything. We had to write it. You know, and when I got clean, we didn't have the step working guide. We didn't have that stuff. We had the basic text and, you know, it works how and why. That's what we had. And my sponsor used to sit down with that, it works how and why, and we used to read it. My sponsor would make up questions for me to answer. And then I would sit there and answer the questions. And we would talk about it, you know. And I think it's really important. When I sponsor people, you know, and I take them through the steps, I do the same thing. You know, we sit, we talk about it, we read about it, we write it down, you know, because I think writing, for me, it's been a very powerful tool because it's allowed me to understand, you know, on a deeper level what the steps are about. You know, and it's like, I know for myself, having stayed clean for a long time, that when having worked the steps, it has become part of my life. It's part of my daily life, my daily living. You know, it's like it kind of becomes automatic after a while. It's like I don't necessarily think, oh, I'm working the sixth step, you know, although that's one that I really work a lot. And, you know, recovery is a journey for me. Everyone has their journey. Everyone's on their path, you know, and the steps for me has helped keep me on that path to go where it is I want to go, you know. And I want to be happy, joyous, and free as much as I can, you know. There's no guarantees I'm going to be happy, joyous, and free 24/7, but, you know, one of the things that makes me happy is when I see people recover, when I work with people, that 12th step, when I sponsor people and I watch them grow, you know, and I see them when they first come in. I had a sponsee, I remember her when she first came in, and she was a loud mouth, foul mouth, big black woman, big, mean, nasty, awful, terrible. I mean, she would tear your head off, you know. She asked me to be her sponsor, and I was like, okay. And so I worked with her, and it was like a year later, she had her kids back, she had a job. She was completely a changed woman, you know. But it was because she was willing to work the steps. She gave up that old behavior, you know. It's like when I came in here, I was no nice person. If you'd have seen me, you'd have run away, you know. You'd have said, oh. You know, so it's like we do change. I mean, I've changed since I've been here, and I've seen so many people change. I've seen so many people embrace this life and have a good life. You know, have a much better life than they would have had. I mean, I have a much better life than I had when I was ripping and running and acting stupid, you know, and sleeping here and doing that and doing this and lying and all that stuff. You know, I don't have to do that anymore. You know, my life has changed so much, so much. And I have no doubt that, you know, as long as I stay open-minded, it's going to keep changing for the better, you know. So, it's really important for us to carry the message. It's one of the most important things I do. You know, I do service. I do whatever I can, you know. Sometimes I get a little overcommitted in the service department, but that's one of my defects I'm working on. So anyway, thank you all for listening, and thank you for 12-stepping me.
Thank you, Mary, for sharing my recovery. Now it's time for the second speaker. Second speaker is from Williamsport area of NA and from the Just for Today group of NA. I'd like to introduce Wadu.
Everybody, I'm recovering out of call Wadu. How's everybody? I was hoping that the young lady just, like, kept on going. You know, she could have went on and just continued on and freed herself. You know, I am from the WANA area, the Williamsport area of Narcotics Anonymous. Before I share on the 10th, 11th, and 12th step, there's some things I like to get out the way. First thing I like to get out the way is my ego. I like to always check my ego at the door and invite a loving God into my life. Listen, also, while I'm here, if you're ever in the Williamsport area, Sunday, 12:15 to 2 o'clock, 901 Diamond Street, you'll find a meeting there every Sunday as the Just for the Day home group. Also, the Williamsport area of Narcotics Anonymous is having their convention September the 19th, 20th, and the 21st, which is going to be in the Lewisburg area this year. So if you happen not to be doing anything the 19th, the 20th, and the 21st, please come and visit us. Okay? Now, listen, you know, I was sitting here, man, I listened at a couple of meetings, and I'm looking at this right here, right? The bonfire. Do y'all light that up? You know, is this for that? The wood is the, okay. This is my first time at a campsite. The first time I ever shared at a campsite, and I'm looking at the wood and the burning, and I'm saying, damn, They getting ready to have some fun. You know, and in the midst of me looking at all that, listen, let me explain something to you. You know, we out here with nature and one and all that. Look, if a bear walk up this path, this podium is going to be vacant. Now, I'm just not that okay with out here. I'm telling you right now, that's something. And don't let me hear too much creaking behind me. You know what I mean? Because I'm going to be spinning around. Because I already seen a couple of people come up the path. And I'm like, man, I hope they don't do that on me. You know what I mean? I don't know if I'm going to really be able to handle that. You know, but listen, I'm going to do the best I can. So we on the 10th, 11th, and the 12th step. I just want to shake the nervousness. You know, boy, listen, I'm always nervous, you know, when I share, because if for some reason, man, God do something to you when you're on this side of the table. You know, he have a way of, you can say what you want to do, but what God got in store for you is a different thing. You know, and I'm saying that because how many of you have ever spoke and you had a plan on what you wanted to say? And every time you got up on the podium, none of that came out. Or if you tried to make it come out, it always came out wrong. So, with that said and done, I'm going to just, reason why I have this book, so when I open it up, I just like to reference on, you know, the topic. Because I forget a lot now. I just turned 51, and, you know, and some people might say you're young, and some may say you're old. But look, I just turned 51 not a couple months ago, and man, it just seemed like once you got to 50, the memory starts. For me, it might have been at 40. I don't know. But the memory is starting to go. So I'm just going to use this for a reference to just kind of like touch on where I'm at. You know, she was talking about the working step guy that wasn't here when she... Oh, thank you for sharing also, dear. Thank you very much. You know, and big bold print, so I can see. Another thing that left, you know, in eyesight. And when you're talking about, you know, let me put these on. There you go. We continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Two-part step. They say that you can get away with the first part of the step. You don't have to do the second part if you're living right. If you're living right, the first part of the step, if you kind of like trying to be the best person that you can be, that the second part, you can kind of like get by with. Now, if you're just like I am, a lot of days, sometimes I don't know when I may say something or do something to someone that I may cause some harm indirectly, and I may not know it at that moment. Then in a course of my day, when I reflect back on how my day has transpired, then I look and say, you know what? I said something somewhere, and you know they may not have took it right. I need to go back to them and straighten it out. So I try not to let it go into weeks and months. You know, listen, I was speaking at this Marlichner, Mid-Atlantic Regional Learning Conference in Lancaster, right? And I was sharing, and the room was crowded. And I was sharing my story, and I said something, you know, not about me not being around the gays and all that, and this guy was sitting there, which was a friend of mine, and he was gay. And I spotted the look on his face when I made this statement. And I immediately thought, as soon as I got off the podium, I had to go make that amends to this guy. Because I had said some things, man, that was uncomfortable to him. First of all, I used a word that was definitely a no-no. So when I said, listen, please, please accept this apology from me. I saw that my story made you uncomfortable. He said, yeah, well, I do it then. You know? So we kind of like got that away. And I'm talking about, this is my buddy. We are right. You know? And coming up in this process, first of all, you know, my clean date is 11/22/92. I don't say that to be bragging. I say that out of hope. that someone, someday, can get to this point just for the day. Anybody here that got 26, 21, 20, 30 years clean, oh, everybody started out with one day, 24 hours or less. Everybody. Now, I don't know no addicts that's multiplying. There may be a couple. But that ain't how this program works. Just for the day, we get this clean time. Why am I shaking? I want to talk a little bit about my process, you know, and we're gonna stay with the 10th and 11th step. I'm not gonna keep going back on the 10th and 11th step. If you listen at my sharing, you'll hear the 10th, the 11th, and the 12th step. If you listen at my sharing, I'm going to touch on it. I'm not gonna keep, you know, I might reference to the book a little bit, but you know, we don't have much time, and I want to keep it. I want to do something different and stay within the time frame. When I came to this process, the first thing my sponsor told me, well, the first thing y'all told me, was to get a sponsor. First and foremost, you said don't use. Get a sponsor. Then you told me to make meetings. Then you told me to help somebody. Told me to get a God in my life. In the midst of all that information, I got a sponsor, and what my sponsor told me was, he said, "Why do listen? You know, we just gonna practice staying clean." I said, "Okay, what you mean by that?" He said, "Listen, all I want you to do is just make meetings and don't use. Just make meetings and don't use." I'm like, okay, so in the midst of me making meetings, I lived in a recovery house, and in the recovery house, it was a stipulation that you had to make 90 meetings in 90 days. You know, I did that. That was for the recovery house. I did 90 meetings in 90 days. Then I did another 90 meetings in 90 days because I heard something in the first 90 meetings that I was making. Something I heard, you know, and it was some things that was kind of like foreign to me because I wasn't hearing this in the street. Keep in mind, listen, I may curse. I hope, you know, I don't offend anybody. I might say some things. Sometimes I get carried away, man. Recovery be so good. You know, they say the easiest thing to change is your language. Ain't always the case. You know, but I'm going to try. But I might say something, and I don't want to offend nobody, so I want to get this out the way now. Please don't be offended. It ain't like you ain't never heard it before either. You know? So when my sponsor was telling me, listen, he said, "Well, I do, listen, what we going to do, man, I just want you to make meetings." You know, and in the midst of me making meetings, man, I just heard y'all talking about steps. I said, "What is it about the steps?" You know, and my sponsor said, "Well, we'll get to that. What did I tell you to do?" Now I'm like, wait a minute, hold it. What did you tell me to do? Now I'm going to get defensive because you sound like you dictating or you giving me orders. But keep in mind, man, I needed orders. Because if I left it up to my own device, the only thing I knew how to do when I first came here was to smoke. And I knew how to do that good. But I had a sponsor when I was out there using. But I had somebody to show me how to cop, go talk to the people right, come back, fix it up. So I had a sponsor until my sponsor went back. You know, we started talking about some steps. My sponsor put me, he said, "All right, well, I do, you know, now you're ready for the steps, you know," because my main thing was to get to the fourth step. I kept hearing everybody talk about this great hype of the fourth step. What was it about the fourth step? It was something about the fourth step that I needed to get to. And what had happened, he said, "Okay, you hear about the fourth step, and you want to get to the fourth step, but first you got to take one." You know, so I said, "Okay, I know one, two, three, come before four." I said, "All right, you know, so I'm writing on the first step." When I gave my sponsor my first fourth step, man, it was like a book. So the next time we did the second step, he said, "Man, listen, your writing is good. I don't need all that. You know, I don't need all that writing, you know, who saved that. So we did the first step, and, you know, we did the powerless piece, and then he said, okay, now each time you write a step, live it. You know, he said, and if you keep making meetings, practicing how to stay clean, you keep making meetings, you're going to learn different things about the steps. So then we did the second step, we did the third step, and we did my fourth step, my first four step. You know, I tried to be as honest as possible. Because I there's something about the first step that I kept hearing. Honesty went with the first fourth step. Honesty went with the fourth step, you know. And I tried, and I was saying some things, man, that I just knew that I was going to walk into my grave. I just knew I wasn't going to give it to any human. And when me and my, you know, one thing about a sponsor, if you don't have a loving and caring sponsor that you trust, keep in mind, you ain't gonna give him or her anything. You gonna hold it back because there's no trust there. One thing in this sponsorship relationship, man, it's got to be a trust factor. You got to have it. How you gonna get it out of you if you don't have nobody to give it to? In order for you to keep it, you got to give it away. I don't care what it is, it got to get out you. So we did the fourth step, and I felt that I was a part of something. I said, okay, you know, I'm on my way. Got the fourth step out the way. I start feeling good about myself, and I'm still making meetings, you know, and the year go around, and I'm still making meetings, and I'm still doing step work, and we did another fourth step, and I'm still doing step work, and, you know, we did the fifth step, me and him, and, you know, the exact nature of my wrongs, and, you know, and what I got in touch with the fifth step is the why. You did everything you did in your fourth step. One thing about the question why, you can ask why this. Why that? Why that? If you keep answering the why, you'll get to the exact nature. Just keep asking why. Why? When you get finished, you'll say, okay. All right. That's what it is. So we start doing step work and did 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th. And I'm going around the steps a couple of times. You know, I got some cleaning time now. You know, one thing I need to tell you guys, I always liked it. I had a problem with women. I ain't talking about hitting on them and beating, you know. I always chose women that distracted me from anything. It had nothing to do with them. It was just me. And I found that out in my fourth step. One thing I never was able to be with just one. So in other words, what we call that is a whore. And men have a tendency of always labeling a woman as the whore. Fellas, it's a new day and time. We're some of the biggest whores that you ever want to be. And talking about me, I'm talking about me. I'm one of the biggest. And listen, man, I was riding up here with my spine seat. Boy, them guys crazy. I ain't even going to get into what the conversation was about. You know, listen. So what I got in touch with is that when I got here, there was some work that I needed to do on myself. And in the midst of taking the steps, what was happening was I started changing my ideas about life. I started changing my attitude about people, places, and things. Now, we're talking about 10 steps now. Once I change my ideas and my attitudes, what you see is a change in the behavior. You see the behavior. You start seeing a change in me. I'm no longer that guy anymore. I got married in this process. man, it was hard to let go of the old behaviors with the women. You know, I mean, look. I'm holding on to some behaviors because, you know, my wife is a beautiful woman. Love her to death. She changed me to the man and the husband that I needed to be because, look, keep this in mind, man. My wife wasn't standing for just anything. She's a woman in the process also. And she had a sponsor and some principles that she was living by. So I couldn't just come in and do anything I wanted to her. So what happened, and we get into the, we had the 10th step, I started changing my ideas and my attitudes. See, because that's what the 10th step is about. You know what I mean? If I'm going to continue to take a purpose, if I'm going to continue to look inside of me, then I'm continue to try to change to the best of my ability. It's about the whole process is about to change. This is about to change. I hope that you guys are sitting here with some time clean ain't the same guys that you were when you first walked in the door. If you are, please, take a look at it. Something is happening, or you ain't embarking on the steps. How many out of you know in here, man, is just clean and crazy? Clean and crazy. They ain't working on nothing, but they stand clean. And a lot of times we say stand clean is enough, but not so. Recovery is an active change of my ideas, my attitudes, and my behavior. An active change. That means ongoing. So I got to be on an ongoing changing process. I got to change the changes. Because a lot of times the things that's working for me 5 years ago, 10 years ago, ain't working with 15 years, 9 months, and 1 day clean today. This ain't working. They coming out now. Damn. Yeah. So listen. I believe in a God. Always have. And I'm not getting spooky. I'm not talking about going into a religious organization or anything like that. I always believed that it was something that brought me out of the pits of hell. I always believed that it was something that took me out of some situation that was life-threatening. And I knew it wasn't me because I got me in it. So I knew I can't get me in and out too. So it had to be something, a loving God as he expressed himself, that got me out. You know how we had them foxhole prayers, God, please? Get me out of this one. I'll never do it again. Only to go back and do it again. Some of us. I'm going to speed it up a little bit. All right. Look. Look. Yeah, man. A little dark. I said, ah. You know?
Yeah.
Well, look, I thought they're really bad on that way. Yeah, I'm out of here. Well, look, y'all told me, and I believe you. You my eyes and ears.
I'm glad you
were, because look, what the hell? Eleven steps. We saw through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understand him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. One of the key words in this step for me is improve. Improve. The third step was my base faith step. When I made a decision to turn my will and my life over, man, that's running on faith. Because I don't know what this is in store for me. So that's a faith hit. Now, I'm improving my faith in the 11th step. But I'm asking for something. I'm praying for the knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry it out. A lot of days, man, it says in the 11th step that God's will is obvious. But sometimes his will is not. So now, here's the thing. Give me the strength that when you put me in a situation that I need to carry your will, do your job, that I'm able to come out of it okay. It also says in this step that we cannot even begin to flat fathom what God has in store for us. It says that if we do, we would cheat ourselves because we can't think that far. We only got a fleeting glimpse of what God has in store for us. A fleeting glimpse. That'd be like, zap, zip. That's all we got. A fleeting glimpse of what God will is for us. But it says that God's will is the very same will that we want for ourselves. So if I want goodness for me, then I need to do that. God wanted to, but here's the thing, because the 12th step says, there we go. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of the steps, we try to carry this message to the attic and practice these principles in all our affairs. Having had a spiritual awakening, she talked about it, spiritual awakening, just a do the right thing awakening, because for the addict, we had never contemplated on doing the right thing. How can you do the right thing and you're caught up in the grips of trying to find ways and means to get more? I'm sorry, Mom. I'm so sorry that I was crawling up under there last night, reaching my hand in the pocketbook, taking some. Or I'm sorry, my friend, that you had more tools than I thought you needed. So I helped myself with a few saws and shit. I'm sorry, man, but listen, I got to have it. By any means necessary. That means if I lose friendship, so be it. Now I have an opportunity to repair. And you know the funny thing, but it says, we try. God let you off the hook here, y'all. He just said try to carry the message to the addicts and practice these principles in all our affairs. Just try. They say prayer. Going back to prayer and meditation. I'm bouncing around. They say prayer is talking to God. Asking God for his directions. You know, God, what you want me to do, you know. And they say the meditation part is listening for his instructions. It says that if you don't have a God in your life, that the only way that the 11th step will work for you is based on the meditation part of the steps. You don't need the prayer part if you ain't got no God. It's the meditation part of work for you. So listen, we ain't saying you gotta have a God to come to Narcotics Anonymous and get a day clean. We ain't saying that. We ain't trying to let you off the hook and give you an excuse to leave. We ain't trying to do that. We say make sure whatever you believe in is loving and caring. Once you're here for a while, yeah, it may be the tree stump. May be the mic. May be the rock. But if I burn this stump, don't put your hope in this. But if I put it on that campfire, how you gonna feel about it? Or if that rock is a part of my house and you don't live in the area, how you gonna feel about it? You understand what I'm saying? Loving and caring. Now, I'm gonna give you all the steps in 25 words or less. One to 11 take you to God. The 12th step is your signed contract with God. That's your 12th step. That's them. Now, I want to practice all of them because the spiritual principles in all the steps. Spiritual principles in all of them. You know what I mean? It's something that we got to collect out of the step process that makes us a better person. And that's the spiritual awakening that you get. Listen, it's like the young lady talked about. There's many spiritual awakenings that you're going to receive in this process. One of my biggest spiritual awakenings was that I didn't have to use no more. That's one of my biggest ones. What? I don't have to, what? I ain't got to smoke no more? Man, go, come on, man. Come on. I've been asking addicted for 17. Come on. What you mean I ain't got to smoke no more? Man, no, you ain't got to live like that no more, why do? I ain't got to shoot no more dope. Huh? Come on. I don't believe you. I just don't believe you. Do what we do. I thought, why some guys are doing their poor living? I believe now. Look. Man, listen. Y'all gave me the greatest shot of dope I ever wanted. From dope to hope. Woo! Listen. I want to bring y'all up to date real quick. I wanted to bring my wife up here with me, but she started school, man. And I love my wife. That's for the tape. No, seriously, I didn't stop playing. Seriously. You know, she started school, you know, and listen, man, you know, I'm about helping my wife with her dreams and her aspirations, you know, and I go to work often and I support the family and I support my wife in whatever she wants to do. She just started school. She's starting her master's program. And I mean, I am so proud of this woman. We've been married 12 years. We've been together 15 years and 2 months. We've been together 15 years. We've been married 12. Man, she, listen. I am actually starting to understand that the whore that I had used to be, that what I was looking for in all them women, I couldn't even answer. I couldn't tell you what I wanted. I couldn't tell you what I wanted in all of them because I didn't know what it was like to be in a healthy relationship, so I couldn't tell you about a healthy relationship. All I could tell you is I screwed her. You know what I mean? That nigga, that ain't life. That ain't how this shit works. I ain't got to recover on my back. All that old kind of shit, you know what I mean? So I get a woman who we had some struggles, but I get a woman in the midst of the time that we've been together, man, I start respecting her because she demands it. You know what I mean? She demands, look, she ain't no pushover. She far from a pushover. You know, I start respecting her, showing her how much I love her, how much I need her, how much I want her in my life. And I come to find out, man, through all that, it became a great friendship. You know, it's just something about relationship and compassion, commitment, and trust. It goes together. You mix it up and you put a little bit of compassion in the soup and you put a little commitment in there and you put a little trust in there, man, and you put my wife in there and you put me in there and then you mix it all up, man. You got a hell of a soup. You got a hell of a soup, man. You got a good soup. A good soup recipe for a healthy relationship. I'm talking about a lot of days it ain't no such thing as a 50-50 relationship. But some days, man, she might bring 90 and I only bring 10 because I'm all out my damn mind. Some days she'll bring 40 and I might bring 60. Some days she may bring 30 and I bring 70. Some days she bring 80, I bring 20. And one thing we know and we respect is each other's space when we're in a nasty space. You understand what I'm saying? Oh, you got the ass today, huh? All right. You're not going to invite me in no controversy when I don't want to be in it. That's my choice. You ain't gonna yell no if you want somebody to be in that with you, and ain't me. Because I got some principles too. Alright, now I'm shutting it down. I wanna thank these guys for inviting me out here to share on the 10th, 11th, 12th step. I hope that I help somebody in my sharing. That's all I have.